Play that music. Uh-huh. Hey, gorgeous people.
Are you talking about me or you?
I'm talking about you.
I'm talking about you.
Oh, look at us. Oh my gosh. We're feeling particularly fetching this evening in our little outfits. Can you tell that we've been kind of like really feeling the outfits lately? And being that it's Pride Month, we were like, we're going to go for it. So Ari, what's inspiring your outward appearance this evening?
I've been on Twitter recently and it's all about Barbie. Everybody's talking about the Barbie movie, and I was like, I put on the wig today because I've been feeling like dressing up for our podcast lately. I really enjoyed dressing up as Karen last week. And So this week I went into the closet. I now have a cosplay closet of wonder. I went into the closet of wonder and I pulled out the blonde wig and I put it on with the glasses. And I was like, I look like PhD Barbie.
It came together.
Really loved it. But can we just take a look and appreciate Plant Daddy hat? This is Plant Daddy.
I am Plant Daddy, everyone.
Yes.
So, Giaddy. So, Saturday, we're going to Motor City Pride in Detroit, and which I'm oddly super nervous about, but we'll talk about that.
Are you gonna motorboat the Motor City?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Depends on how festive things get. But, So this isn't my whole outfit, but I wanted to wear this today, like hashtag mm-hmm. say gay. But for Motor City Pride, I bought like a plant pride tank top that has like succulents, like in little pots all across the front. And all the pots are like one of the colors of the rainbow. And I was just like, I'm going to go with this crazy plant gay aesthetic because I need to.
I love it.
I need to, you know. So it's supposed to arrive tomorrow. So I'm particularly excited. I have not decided if I'm going to wear any jewelry yet, but I think it might pan out. We'll see. We'll see.
Do you have holes for earrings?
I don't know. It's interesting. I've gotten many tattoos, but I've never gotten a piercing before. I'm actually terrified of piercings.
I used to have piercings, but they have since closed up. I had piercings when I was 17 years old. I went to Claire's, I got the Claire's gun in the ear.
We never got a bloodborne pathogen from that, I'll never know.
Absolutely.
like, I'm just going to be honest.
And you know that there was, and because it was Claire's, that you know they never did it right. Because one ear was lower than the other ear. So like, I know I need to get it done again and have it done right. But like, I have virgin ears again. My virginity has come back from my ears.
I have virgin ears again. Oh my goodness. So how have you been and what have you been up to?
Well, I've been training for a 10K. You know, I've been working really hard on that. So I went for a run yesterday and I ran 7 miles in 2 hours and 19 minutes, about 2.5 hours. That was fun. But it was very difficult. And I spent most of the rest of the day not doing a single gosh darn thing. I spent most of the day sleeping. But I worked on some schoolwork. I got my schoolwork done early this week. So I spent most of the day today not doing much of anything. I've just been kind of relaxing this week. How about you? How have you been?
I've been kind of relaxing this week too. I've just been Gardening still, doing a lot of gardening.
How are the plants?
The plants are doing well. My tomatoes are growing very, very fast. Like I am kind of mind like I'm proud of myself over how fast they're growing. So like things like I've been kind of worried though, because we have like some animals that are like kind of threatening the plants, like chipmunks and rabbits and stuff. So I might be going to war with animals. I might. Oh, Kaishana's here. Kaishana, it's been a while since we've seen you. I hope you've been doing
Kaishan.
well. Yes, we're going to be talking about tokenism tonight, and I am very eager to get any everyone's perspectives tonight. So please don't hesitate to share your thoughts as we go along in our conversation. And it looks like Arpi was here a little while ago as well. It's good to see you. Awesome. Yes, we still need to get you on the show. I am like determined for us to do like some sort of guest thing. Like it's gotta happen. It's gotta happen. But so other than gardening, I think the only other thing that I've really been doing is I've actually been doing some writing. PS, if you've not subscribed to my poetry channel, Donnie Speaks, I just uploaded a very sassy pride poem. So if you would like to go watch it and give it a like and give that channel a subscribe, I would super appreciate it.
Oh my God, I have
But
to resubscribe to your poetry channel. I
oh,
deleted my channel, so all my subscriptions are gone. I was like,
yes, definitely do that. Kaishana, how has your summer been going so far? And Arpi, let us know as well if you are listening right now. So beyond that, like I've been doing some writing and I'm slowly kind of coming out of my writer's block and just reorienting myself. Because I honestly, and I've mentioned this before, like for the first chunk of this year, I've been in a huge writing funk. But I'm slowly working my way out of it. And who knew that it just required some sassy gay poems to get me out of the
absolutely
funk, right?
perfect.
Kaishana says, I've been writing a lot more lately too.
Yay,
Good.
perfect.
Yay. Awesome. I love that. So, current event snapshot. There's a lot going on right now.
So much. We went through a period of where it was sort of like things were happening in the background and like we really weren't paying attention. And then all of a sudden, stuff started happening in the foreground.
Absolutely. So, it's been very much at the forefront of news lately, but there's been a lot of Canadian wildfires, and they have been causing a lot of like air quality concerns throughout the Midwest and Northeast. So here in Michigan, like we've been experiencing some significant air quality issues. Like yesterday, it was so like smoky outside that you could barely see the sun here in Midland.
Really?
And we had left our bedroom window open because like we like our bedroom to be cool, because I don't know about you, but I like sleeping in the cold. So we left it open and the rest of the house was like airtight away from, the bedroom, which was exposed to the outside. We walked in there and it smelled like a campfire.
I noticed recently that my eyes had been like itchy, sort of like I had been sitting next to like a campfire, I was like rubbing my eyes and I was like, why are my eyes watering so bad? And I was like, my eyes are watering. And I had the window open and I was like, why are my eyes watering? And I hadn't even thought about it, and it was because of the Canadian wildfires.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, well, and yeah, and if you already have allergy issues, like the wildfire smoke like exasperates them. I know like I've been getting like really dry eye. I mean, I already have issues with dry eye, but like it's taken it and like upped it by like 10. But it's been very kind of terrifying. Like if you are on social media, you'll see like people posting videos and photos from like New York City and like Washington, DC, where like it literally looks like some sort of dystopian hellscape because the sky is like red and orange. Like
It looks like Blade Runner.
it does. It looks like that or like Dune or something. Like I'm just like that's kind of scary to see.
Yeah, but it looked like that a couple years ago in California too.
Absolutely.
I lived in Seattle. And there were some wildfires on the West Coast, and I remember going outside and having the sun, or the sun looked like that, where it was like this reddish color and having it, I remember being outside and just having a hard time breathing. Mm-hmm. And that was in 2016. It was like that. There were some fires out that way. I went to a concert. I went to go see, who was it? Belle and Sebastian. And, there were just horrible, horrible wildfires in 2017. Mm. And just the amount of smoke covering everything. And, it wasn't raining like it normally does. And it was just a terrible summer, that year. Where it was just, it seemed like things were just not letting up very well.
Yeah, that's, ooh. Well, and it, I don't know, like, it's just, it's been bringing up a lot of conversations about climate. I know I got in a fight with somebody on TikTok yesterday where they were like, this isn't climate change. Wildfires happen every time, all the time. And I'm just like, but does this level of dryness happen all the time? I don't think so.
Well, it's just because when you get, I mean, wildfires do happen, but the problem is that when we're in this level of, in the future, you should be able to do prescribed burns and things like that to prevent this level of wildfire. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's what the National Wildfire the National Park Service is for, is to prevent this level of problem, mm-hmm. to keep the wildfires and to be able to control the wildfires from getting out of, problem, getting out of control. But maybe they don't do that. I'm not sure what Canada does to prevent wildfires. I know that's what they do in the United States.
Yeah, I don't know what Canada does either. So Kaishana says, I'm scared about air quality stuff happening. Yeah.
They said that New York City is the worst air quality in the world right now. That
absolutely.
If you go to New York, it's something like smoking 6 packs of cigarettes or something.
Yeah. Like New York was yesterday, New York was number one and Detroit was number two. Mm-hmm. Today it's like New York and Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like it's really scary, you know? And Kaishana, keep that tokenism note in mind when we start talking about it here in a few minutes, because that's going to be an important thing to bring up, especially when it comes to those who are disabled, right? So Google Lens, do you want to talk about Google Lens really quick?
Yeah, they have new VR that looks like snow goggles.
Oh my God, Leo's here.
Hello, Leo.
Oh, hello. We've missed you. Hope you've been doing well.
So, Google Lens, these VR goggles that are so expensive, only very rich people, very dystopian, bought lenses. You can watch movies, all sorts of things. They look ridiculous. They just look absolutely ridiculous. Apparently you can buy them. And they'll make you super cool. And apparently they'll make you like a better person or something. I don't know. They'll make you the show of affluence or something.
Interesting. I feel like that's been kind of like this looming specter, like for the last 5 years, this interactive experience, VR thing,
Could you imagine trying to talk to somebody wearing Google Lenses? Like, they'll just be talking to you, and at the same time, they're checking their email or, watching a movie or something. And, they're having, some kind of, VR experience at the same time while they're trying to talk to you. They'll be looking at you, but at the same time, their eyes are, darting all around, and, they're looking at other things.
Oh, that'd be so, I don't know. That would be kind of odd. I don't know. Leo says, playing Sky right now. Let's see. Kaishana says, there's some disabled people talking about the vision goggles, too. I don't care much about technology like that. I mean, I'm sure it might benefit some people, right? But of course, we have to think about accessibility, like the financial accessibility of things, because...
I understand the potential uses of it, but also at the same time, the fact is that living in most people are going to use it as a way to like not interact with other people.
Absolutely. So the only other thing that we wanted to talk about with regard to current events before we move forward is we wanted to kind of circulate back to pride safety, because for the last episode, we talked a lot about like performative pride and like being concerned about the safety of pride. And there have been a couple of things that have happened this week. Number one, earlier in the week, two people were wrongfully arrested at a pride event where like there was this, I can't remember where specifically, was it in like Denver or something like that? But there was like this stand or like this table at Pride that was like creating awareness about like police brutality and like Pride, etc. And police officers at Pride started making jokes at the expense of the people of the LGBTQ plus people at this thing. And then they like called them out for it. And then it led to like a lot of like concerning things that happened. So like that circulated social media quite a bit. I don't know if you heard about that already or not, but like it was all over TikTok and Twitter.
I have not been on TikTok recently because I heard that they made a bunch of changes to TikTok, and TikTok has been just kind of a nightmare to be on recently, that people's views are down and that like videos aren't showing up, and that just like being on the platform has just been pretty horrible recently.
Yeah. It's been kind of it's been kind of interesting lately on there, let's just say. And then the other thing, so there are a lot of school boards across the country who are trying to protect LGBTQ plus people. And by say like a school board voting to acknowledge and adopt June as Pride Month. In Glendale, California, there was a pretty significant protest outside of the school because the district was voting to adopt Pride. And of course there were anti-protesters that clashed with LGBTQ plus, you know, people who were protesting, you know, these protesters. They were anti-protesters essentially. And it resulted in fighting and violence. So that's
great.
Concerning.
Kajana is saying things.
Kajana says, I've been using AAC more often, augmented alternative communication. Interesting. It definitely allows my thoughts to be heard. Vocal speech does not do me justice when speaking to people.
And I understand that. Like,
yeah.
I understand if like you're using these technologies as a way to like, as accessibility, as like you need these things as a way to help you interact and using those as a tool to help you connect with people. I understand that. But people using technologies as a way to separate yourselves from people, as a way of like distracting yourselves from not communicating with people, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Instead of using it as a way to connect with people, using it as a way to isolate yourself and separate yourself from people, and sort of like using it as a buffer between other people and not connecting. You know what I mean? Like some people use those tools like Google Lens as a way to like not connect with people. Like instead of actually talking to a person, they're watching a movie on their VR screen and half talking to the person in front of them. Like I can see somebody doing that, or like as they're talking to the person, they've got their email going in the background, or they've got text messages going in the background, those kinds of things. Like I could see VR being used in that way, or like as they're talking to somebody in front of them, they're in a meeting somewhere else, and they've got this thing going in the background,
yeah.
And they're using, so it's sort of like being half present in the moment instead of like using as a way to connect with other people. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing that like bothers me, is like they're not living presently in the moment to connect with people as a communication tool. They're using it like a half lived moment.
Absolutely. Kaishana says, I couldn't attend my event due to the accessibility. And thank you, by the way, for sharing that with us. Like, we appreciate that you feel that this is a safe space to share that. And you also asked, does being trans interfere with liking men and women?
No.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Being trans, your gender identity doesn't have anything to do with your sexual preference. It's just a gender expression.
Now, people like outside of our communities might not understand that distinction. So, like, there might be instances where you may have to explain that to those people, which, of course, think about your bandwidth before you place that responsibility on yourself to have to explain that to people before that.
Because for myself personally, I'm non-binary, which means that I call myself she light. So sometimes I say that my pronouns are she, they, or they're just they. Most of the time I go by they, them. Like my pronouns, if you see listed in my profile as they, them. I do allow for certain people to call me she, but most of the time it's gender euphoria for people to call me they, them. But she, I tend to go as they, them. And I don't tend to fit into the binary of I don't feel like a woman. I don't tend to feel feelings of being a woman. I tend to pantomime feelings of being a woman. I don't generally feel like a woman. I tend to wear costumes like I am tonight of being a woman as a way to understand what it means to be a woman, just as a pro tip. What was I going with this? But also at the same time, on that same flip side, as far as it goes, I am bisexual, so I am attracted. I always joke about this. I am attracted to all women, and David Lynch. Those are the only. But I like I do, I'm attracted to men and women. But I was joking about this on my. I was like I'm. I love all women and certain men, but that's how it is.
And I am gayer than the day is long. Just saying. So Kaishana says, I have gender dysphoria because I'm still figuring out who I really am in terms of sexuality. And like, I am glad that you are, going through this journey and learning more about yourself, because there are a lot of people who don't ask these questions, who aren't in a space where they can, right? And that what frustrates me, and we'll probably talk about this at some point in the future, but there's a lot of people in the gay community who in the LGBTQ plus community as a whole, who kind of like shame people who aren't out. But the truth is, like, people who aren't out are as much a part of our community as anyone else, right? They're just at a different point on their journey. And that shouldn't result in any shame, you know? Kishana says, I've learned about what Ari said in my college course for education psychology, and I ended up more confused than anything. I go by they, them, but I still accept she and her because of my body parts.
And I think that's because and for me personally, if you feel connected to this, I think that's because of societal expectations that there's this imposition from other people that because people impose on you the outer parts that they see you as being feminine, so they decide for you that you are a woman, so they decide you are a woman, so they call you she, her. And so there's a certain amount of like you have to mask yourself. So it's sort of like because it's sort of like there's a fear that if you go by anything else, there's a certain amount of like imposter. There's a certain amount of imposterness about it that if you're because you're not in there's a I'm not androgynous enough. I have breasts. I have a vagina. I'm not androgynous enough to go be able to call myself they them. I'm not ambiguous enough to go by these things. My mom's told me that I'll always look feminine to her. I'll always look like a woman to her. So I'll always be she, her to her. I'll be woman to her. And so there was a certain amount of like crushing in me that she'll never call me by those pronouns that I want her to call me by. And so there's a certain amount of like having to, and so like when I'm in public, there's a certain amount of like how much energy how much energy and effort do I want to put into having strangers give me credence to my identity? How much, like, do I want to tell my grocery cashier my life story about why the journey I've been on here, you know, my lifelong story as they're ringing up my groceries, of how I've come to being a they them. Like, do I really need to, about in the 30 seconds they're ringing up my groceries, my lifelong story about how I felt like a tomboy and how I've, you know, my big long effing epic. So when they go to ring up my groceries, they go, so would, person, would you, was that going to be cash or credit? Mm-hmm. And so they don't call me ma'am.
Oh my goodness. People are just,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. How much do I want to give credence to that? How much do I want to really put into all of that? You know, honestly.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and read the show mission statement really quick. And then, Kaishana, we'll get to your couple of other comments, because I think that's going to be a good...
I'm sorry. I've been chattering away.
Oh, no. I think we all have been, like, we've not had a lot of people commenting recently. So, like, now that we do have, like, interactive comments to work with, we're just really excited to have people here. So we live in a dynamic society where social media shapes us by creating greater opportunities for connection. It has led to a developing understanding of the adversity many marginalized communities face, the powers causing the adversity, and those who act as bystanders as atrocities take place in real time. Our goal with this show is to have, Our goal with the show is to make connections and have challenging conversations about social topics, current events, pop culture, and art. Together, let's weave the threads of understanding with what privilege we have in order to learn, educate, and create in a world that's growing. So, I love it. So getting to your comments really quick, Kaishana, you say, I'm still trying to learn the difference between gender and sexuality because I feel they intersect at some point. I could be wrong. I guess personally, and mind you, like, I have privilege. I am cisgendered. Like, I don't understand a lot of, like, the dynamics with regard to how, you know, one's gender identity can impact them necessarily, because of course that privilege. But I've always kind of viewed, like, gender identity and sexual identity as being like an X and Y axis, and each of us kind of like falling at some point on that graph. And it can shift and change too, because it's kind of a spectrum. It's fluid in a way at times, right? Now, Ari, I don't know, what is your impression on that?
I understand the feeling of wanting to choose to intersect. I get that desire. I get the desire of wanting them to intersect, because I feel that draw too of wanting there, that having it like a Venn diagram where it's like, you've got gender, you've got sexuality. At some point, like, these two need to overlay somehow, that there's got to be some kind of, like, but in my head I've separated the two. I've come to some conclusion in my mind that the two are two separate entities,
right? Yeah.
And this has taken me some time to separate the two, that one does not equal the other. It's taken through study and through careful thought and through questioning, it's taken me some time. I just don't think that way anymore. That there's it's a Venn diagram. It's two circles, mm-hmm. And they don't link together anymore. It's not a chain. It's two blobs that one is. one does not equal the other.
Right.
But I understand the desire to want them to intersect, but they just don't for me.
Right. Yeah.
But I understand the desire. It's definitely there on some level that you want it to, you, because they're part of your identity somehow. And maybe that's where they intersect, is that they make up part of who you are, that it's part of you. And that's the intersection, is that you are the common denominator in all of that. It's part of what makes you, you. Everything else is not, not analogous to each other.
And examining the intersections is important, because, like Kaishana, you also mentioned here, being Black and disabled adds more strain on myself to remain in the closet. I know, like, for me, like, as a cis person, like, I've had to work toward learning a lot when it comes to like intersectionality as well, with regard to how like different multi-marginalized points intersect with one another, and how like certain dynamics might impact those individuals, right? Mm-hmm. Arby says, I'm acing questioning my romantic orientation. I go by she, he, they pronouns. This has been a very interesting conversation, and I think that it's going to allow us to also segue into discussing tokenism, because we've kind of talked about tokenism a little bit here and there over the past couple of seasons of this show. Heaven knows I've written poetry about tokenism. I guess, if we are to define, because you know us, we like to define things first, right? So the formal definition of tokenism is the practice of doing something, such as hiring a person who belongs to a minority group only to prevent criticism and give the appearance that people are being treated unfairly. And that's from Merriam-Webster. So this is a concept that I think a lot of people are new to as well, because obviously in the last decade, like, there have been a lot of like efforts with regard to diversity and inclusion across a whole array of different institutions and bodies, etc. Right. However, you can quickly look at the way institutions pursue diversity and inclusion by, you know, whether they're doing it just to check off a box or they're doing it to actually create a better, more inclusive space, right? So I guess my question would be, have you ever felt like the token person representing your identity? Do you want to talk about it? Share your experiences if you're comfortable.
I don't know. As far as like identity goes, I definitely was like, I feel like I was in a group of men. I definitely was like the token hire. Like the I would be like in a group of men, and like I would be like the one woman that they would hire. And like it would be like, oh, we hired a woman. Like this is when I identified as cisgender back in the day. And it'd be like, there's one woman on the team, and it'd be like, you know, I would be the one that they would like have around as a way, but I would be the one that they would like have do all the work, and like that while they stood around and had like the little boys club,
the coffee cart talk,
not even that, just like stand around the water cooler and just like, you know, there's a misconception that men don't gossip.
Men absolutely gossip 1000%.
They are the worst gossips. They are. And it's so much more annoying when men gossip, because they always make it seem like they're so much more high and mighty. And when they gossip, and their gossip is so much more vicious when they gossip.
Yeah. It's very judgy. It's very shallow and like two-dimensional usually. Very sexist.
Absolutely. It's very sexist, very misogynist. Mm-hmm. It's always like, because like when women gossip, it's always like, it's always like fact-finding. It's always like trying to get information and like trying to understand, you know, situations, it seems like. But when men gossip, it's just belittling and just, you know, although there is some of that with women, but it feels less so with women. It feels like it's just trying to connect with each other and just trying to get, information about a situation. And like, they're just trying to understand more than it is with men. Men are just misogynistic and white supremacist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, absolutely. So, have I ever felt like the token gay in the workplace? I've worked in places before where I've been the only LGBTQ+ person and I received a lot of discrimination. But then when it came to like there's always the stereotypes, you know, like I worked in retail. So like, because I'm gay, people who I worked with assumed that I was automatically super good and knowledgeable about like clothing and designing and, you know, like putting together outfits and stuff like that. And I've never really been that good at that. But like, even then, this was like in like 2009, 2010, like even then, like I would see that kind of like treatment and behavior and be like, that seems very generalizing. Like that's like, you're kind of like assuming that I am the token gay who lives up to all the stereotypes that you are used to seeing through the representation of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Now in higher education, it's interesting.
I bet.
It's very interesting because depending on where you are, like there may not be a lot of LGBTQ+ people. And I've like at places I've been hired at in the past, like I've had people be like, well, you know, you were just hired to be the token gay, right? Like, or the diversity hire.
That, or are they serious?
I couldn't tell, but but even like saying it in passing just seemed a little concerning to me that, you know, someone would vitriolically say something like that. And of course it like, at that time, like when I was at said institution, like they would often come to me with regard to LGBTQ+ stuff, like, oh, well, read this initiative that we want to do, or like, what is the LGBTQ+ perspective on that? So like the person saying that kind of like had me up in my head about it. Whereas like I valued like them coming to me and asking me my perspective, like, because to me, like that showed that they want to learn. Now, like, I think that if institutions like expect you to do all the work while simultaneously like being that like moral compass gauge, then I think that that could be tokenism, right?
Yeah, because I, and maybe this is just my perspective on the situation, about how you work, but I noticed that you get signed on to a lot of like projects, a lot of extra projects and work situations. And maybe that's just because you're very smart and like you're very knowledgeable, like you're very tech savvy and stuff like that. But also sometimes I wonder if it's because you are a token person and, you know, it's because they're trying to get as much out of you as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that because like, I know other people in marginalized communities who work in higher education who feel the same way, because like a lot of higher education is not as progressive as one would think. It's a lot of higher education is very corporate.
And I'm not trying to like name say like your workplace. I'm sure.
Oh no, not at all.
I'm sure you have a very nice workplace. but it's a very fine line, is it not?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. Like, I would agree that it's definitely a fine line. Now, like, I will say that the nice, like, it, like, when it comes to conversations about tokenism and diversity and inclusion, what really makes it important is whether the institutions are willing to listen to conversations about tokenism and this type of thing, right? If they're willing to have those conversations, then I think that really, because like I kind of feel like people default into tokenism, right? Because like they're eager to learn, they want the person to be present. So like invite them in any way you can to be present, right? Mm-hmm. So like it, like you were saying, it is kind of a fine line, but so long as I think people are willing to have conversations about it, like that's important, because you don't want people in marginalized communities to get burnt out being like the sole person
carrying
leading
that.
Efforts and stuff like that. I do want to get to the comments because I'm noticing some comments.
I think we are on the same track here.
We're psychic. I love it. RP says, I thought I was the only LGBTQ plus person at work, but I found out that one of my team leads is also LGBTQ plus, and one of my coworkers at my college is trans. You know, and the interesting thing too is like, we may be surrounded by LGBTQ plus people and not know it, right? Because I do think that there is this pressure that is placed on people to be out and presenting all the time. Whereas like, I don't think everyone is always comfortable with doing that. And, yeah. And there's a certain level of acceptance that we need to have with that, right? So like that's an interesting point that you make there. Kaishana says, I've been the token autistic Black woman in a college class without even knowing it. Or a Black deaf token woman in a deaf space full of white deaf people, right? Yeah. So like, and the thing is like, sometimes when we are placed in the position of being the token, right? Like those who are placing us in those positions may not be aware of it, which unfortunately places us in the position of having to educate. That, you know, bandwidth permitting can happen, of course. But I also think that it's important for all of us to be aware of like, okay, like what burdens are we putting on people by tokenizing them? I don't know if that's a word, but it's a word now. Arpy says, I've never felt like the token ace. Plus, I had no idea I was until college. Although it's nice not being the only LGBTQ plus person at work. And you found out because they were wearing pride shirts. Cool. That's cool.
I don't think I felt like the token anything in quite a while. Especially since becoming non-binary. I feel like because... Honestly, the more marginalized I've become, and the less I've removed myself from social situations, it's sort of like people don't know these things about me necessarily. And so it's the older I've gotten, because when I was young, I was a young cishet white woman. So it was sort of like I fit into all of these labels. I fit into these boxes very neatly. And so as I've gotten older, it's been less likely that I fit neatly into certain boxes. Mm-hmm. And so as I've become older, I don't fit neatly into boxes anymore. I have all these like jagged edges now. So it's very hard to tokenize someone who doesn't fit, who has all these rough edges and hard. So it's hard to put me into a box and to exploit that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a good point, because like the truth is like if a person is multi-marginalized, like they, like those boxes become completely obsolete. Right.
Right.
But I think that's an important thing to consider as well, because that doesn't mean that people won't try to tokenize you, though, you know, well, based on like their perceptions, you know.
Well, and I just don't allow myself to be put myself into certain social situations. I don't allow myself to like, well, you know that I just block out certain things now. Like if certain things start to happen, I don't allow things to mm-hmm. occur anymore. That when certain things are starting to go in a certain direction, I'm just like,
you're just like,
bye, bitch, bye, bitch. I'm not allowing that to happen. I'm not doing that. We're not playing those games anymore. I'm too old. I'm too crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm too much of anything. I'm not letting that happen. Nope. No.
So, interestingly, okay, so I do want to look at the comments here. Arby mentions my poem Token Gay from Feats of Alchemy. Yes, this is the poem that I was referring to earlier, being about tokenism, right? And it's about being the token LGBTQ plus people in friend groups. Have you ever been that in a more like personal setting or felt like that?
I've never felt like that. I think that I've had good enough friendships that I've never felt tokenized in a certain aspect. Just because I've had people who have cared about me enough to not do that to me.
Right.
And I hope I've never felt like you have been that to me.
Oh, that's good.
I hope I've never treated you like that. You've never been a token gay to me.
Well, and likewise, like, I feel like if either of us felt tokenized by one another, we would talk about it. Like, because
I think that you're special. I think you're a special person. Yeah. And I think that I would never treat you as someone who's just another gay person as a way to hide some kind of like homophobia or something inside of me or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, like and I feel very much the same way towards you as well. Like you are very special to me. And like, I feel like relegating our friendship to those stereotypes that we see in the world with regard to our identities, that would be tokenizing for sure. Like, now I experienced tokenism in friendships like around the time I first came out mostly, but then when I got older and I was able to kind of like acknowledge it for what it was, I was able to, like you were mentioning earlier, like create better boundaries and remove yourself from situations, right? So like I would have like kind of like midway through college, I would have some friends who were women who would kind of think about like those like gay stereotypes that they would see, and they'd be like, Donnie, like, you're a shopping gay, right? Like let's do a, like make do a makeover of me. And I'm like, I have no idea how to do that. Like, no, like that's kind of like tokenizing in a way, because it's kind of like taking those token-esque stereotypes that you see being exaggerated in media and placing them on somebody, right? Or for example, like for men, I never really had like a lot of like straight dude friends, but when I did, they'd be like, hey, like use your gay powers and like be my wingman and connect me with your friend, you know? And it's just like, I'm not like your fairy god gay. Like, I'm not gonna like come to you at midnight and be like, here, I'm gonna do this and make you over and you'll be in love with my best friend, you know? Like, what?
I think that I've had a gay friend in my early 20s who I did ask to go shopping with me and asked for his advice on clothes. I'm not necessarily sure if I asked him to do a makeover of me, but I did ask for his fashion advice because I thought he had good fashion sense.
Well, and see the thing, well, like now, mind you, I think when we're younger, like we don't really know what
I was 21 years old and I was really dumb. And I was like, please give me fashion advice.
This happened to me too when I was like 18 or 19. Like I had my first friend who identified as lesbian. And I was just like, well, you're a lesbian, help me fix things. Like that.
Like, I don't know how to fix things.
Because like, to me, like that stereotype was like every lesbian was Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Like, it's like, no, like Donnie, what, like Donnie, stop. Donnie, stop.
I think we've all been through that.
Right. But I think That's part of the learning experience, though, too, because like we learned that like what we see depicted is not always all LGBTQ plus people, right? That's
Right.
why quality representation is so important, because the more quality the representation is, the more easily we'll learn and see that no, like not like I'm not a shopping game, or no, my lesbian friend wasn't, going to fix my vehicle for me.
Although, to be fair, she probably does know how to fix a vehicle now.
Whereas I didn't even know how to change my oil. I'm not that kind of daddy. I'm a plant daddy, not an
You
auto
probably do know how
daddy.
to change oil now, though.
I do. I take my vehicle into the dealership and have them change my oil. If it came down to it, I definitely would know how to change my oil. Sorry, that was really fun. That was a funny segment right there.
Right.
Kaishana says, tokenism is something I believe society uses to avoid admitting that they are uncomfortable, so they use people of communities to claim they are inclusive when they are not. Bam. Yeah, I would. I think. Yeah, I agree 100%. Arpy, to answer your question, yes. That poem was inspired by those individuals. Let's see. Oh, Rogue Agent is here. Hopefully you're doing well. We are doing well. It's always good to see you. It's always good to see you.
To be fair, my friend who was gay did have really good fashion advice because he was into drag and he did have some really good clothes.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're. Yeah, you're good. You were good. You were good. Jonai Grandval, hello, my friend. It's good to see you. Hope you're doing well, also. It feels really nice to have people in the chat tonight. So now, when it comes to obviously we have like maybe a few minutes left, but now, being the token gay slash trans slash non-binary friend, what are the signs of that?
So they don't talk to you or acknowledge you unless they need you for a very specific circumstance. Like it's sort of like they need to put you on exhibition for some specific circumstance, or like they need you to like do like specific work or specific thing, or like they need you on display for like the big boss, or like you know what I mean? Like they need you for some specific exhibition, and it's like otherwise you're like relegated to doing something in the background, or like you're hidden away, or like they don't want you around, or like you know what I mean? It's sort of like you're not useful to them unless they need you for some specific task or situation.
Yeah, like it's always that social advancement, right? So like if it is that social advancement that you're being used for, then that would be like to me the most apparent example,
Doesn't
right?
it feel a bit like chewing gum? This sort of like they use you like you're chewing gum. And so, and it's sort of like sometimes for me, it was sort of like there's a certain amount of like because I had been suffered through like narcissistic abuse, I was so desperate and needy for that like love and attention that they would give me in those certain specific circumstances that I would just be like so desperate to be like shown off and given that attention and affection of like being shown off as like being presented in that tokenism aspect. It was sort of like I when they would show me off in that aspect of like here's our star employee and like but it would be like I really wasn't their star employee. I was just like kind of, you know, they would leave me to my own devices and I would be like the only person working by myself. But like when they would show me off, they'd be like, oh, here's our champ. Here's our champ. And it's like, and I'd be like, so I'd be like, whatever you need, well, I'll do it. I'll be there whenever, wherever.
But the moment that significance expires to them, then it's suddenly, like you were saying with the gum analogy, you're spat out, right? Yeah. And not relevant, not significant. Rogue makes comment about Elsa from Disney. Are you saying that sometimes Disney engages in tokenism when it comes to representation? Because that is something worth talking about. Like when does the representation in media erode to tokenism versus quality representation? Jenny Granville says, I just believe in the happiness of others. As long as they are happy, I am happy. I love that philosophy. That's good. I love that. Now, I did have a question earlier when it came to performative pride. How does tokenism connect with the commercialization of pride? Right.
So we were talking about this, that with the commercialization of pride, you know, they'll just slap a rainbow on something. Doesn't matter what it is. And just so because we've been so abused by something, just so excited that there's just any form of representation. Doesn't matter what it is. So we'll, you know, because gay people historically have shown that we have money because we don't have kids. We're not spending our money on kids. We have money and we will spend money, lots and lots of money. And that's the only reason why they're putting all of this energy and effort into pride is because gay people have lots of money.
Absolutely.
And so this tokenism of we will give you what you want. We'll wave that little flag for 30 days.
We'll wave that flag until it becomes inconvenient for us. Right. Target. Absolutely. So circling back to what we talked about last episode, which P.S. if you guys missed that episode, go watch it because it was on fire. But like Target, like the very moment they started getting flack, like they were like, nope, done.
You know what's really sad? In following that on Twitter, none of the companies on Twitter, none of the brands on Twitter changed their brands to rainbow flags. Did you notice that?
I did, yeah.
Very scary stuff.
So Rogue says it was rumored that Elsa was a lesbian outside of the films. I don't know if those rumors are canon though. Like that would be like my question, no. But if they did suddenly decide to do it like in a later film, like if they have a sequel, then I'd be like, tokenism, maybe, possibly. Now, I guess, I mean, how do we combat tokenism? I would argue, what is always my argument? Education.
Here's what you do. You don't put up with that shit. If they, you know, want to abuse you and be like, oh, we want to give you attention until have you around until use you and abuse you and then treat you like you're the special one to use you for our advantage and manipulate you like you're an abused person. No, because what you do is you don't allow that shit. Mm. You see that narcissistic abuse for what it is.
And absolutely.
Walk away from that shit.
Instead of them being like, you go,
you block that shit. You walk on, you take your money. You don't spend it at that company. You walk away from that shit. We are going to remember this shit, Target. We're going to remember this shit, Target. You think you're going to do this again to us? No, we're not spending our money at your goddamn store.
No, like I completely agree. And if it's like an interpersonal relationship, if there is tokenism happening, have a conversation about it, if bandwidth permitting. Because like for me, like I've had to learn that I was tokenizing early on, right? And I've also had to have those conversations with other people. Be like, hey, like you can't like generalize and assume that every person in my community is the same exact way, has the same exact qualities, does the same exact things, right? So like, I think if you can have those conversations, then it at least makes it, it kind of like opens the door for other people, but it's their responsibility to walk through it and to examine those behaviors and not act on them anymore, right? Now, I think it's doable, but like, again, like if you're dealing with a friend or a person who's just gonna like, bye, kind of a situation, then that may be a person you may not want in your life, right?
Exactly. Walk away from that shit.
Absolutely. Our final question. Is tokenism just for J.R.R. Tolkien, or can the elves get in on it?
That was my question.
That was one of my, like, Tolkienism or Tolkienism? Oh, the elves will always be in on it.
I love a good pun. I love a good pun.
I do love me a good pun. I do. I absolutely do.
I think that the elves can get on it too, personally. You know, the elves don't put up with tokenism from J.R.R. Tolkien. They are beyond that. They have gone away from Midgard. They are beyond that shit. They are leaving. They're leaving.
Yep. Absolutely. I bet you all the other people in Middle Earth tokenize the elves and assume that they're all the same when they're not.
Absolutely. They're done with that magic shit.
Well, my friends, this has been another great episode. We hope that you're enjoying our like Pride episodes, because I don't know about you, but I have been like, we've been feeling like good. We've been feeling good. So, of course, tune in next week as well. I can't remember what our topic is next week, but I'm sure I'll look and remember later. But if you are watching this on the playback, don't hesitate to leave a comment. Thank you, everyone, for joining us in the chat today. It felt like having everybody at the kitchen table. It was great. And click like, subscribe to our channels. Subscribe to Ari's new channel, Strange Nothings, in the link in the description section. And you all have a wonderful rest of your evening. We love you. Bye.